Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you on this Thursday. Riders win 31-26 is the final. Still taking your calls for the next hour or so at 1-877-332-8255. That's where we find Richard right now on the fan line. Richard, how are you feeling with the Riders after a big win?
Well, I'm feeling great. I mean, we're in first place. It's been a while, so that's great. Overall, head back to Saskatoon, mulling over the game, and I heard guys talking about the attendance tonight, and I've been going to these games for over 50 years. I started going with my dad, and I've been a season ticket holder ever since. You know, it's the 31st game of this season, and unless you won the Grey Cup the year before, you're not getting a packed house. I mean, I don't know. I bet you I could count three, four games across that 50 years where we had a packed house. Didn't matter if it was at Old Taylor Stadium or where. But I don't think that's indicative of the team. The team starts winning, they're going to start getting people in the door. Prices are what the prices are. Everything's going up. Get there early. You can have your beer for $5. And then watch the game the rest of the game. But I thought we did well. I thought overall, I mean, first game of the season, you're going to have hiccups and you're going to have misplays and you're going to have injuries. But it was pretty good. I also want to just throw a real big congratulations out to Jordan Hoos. Awesome long ball snapper. He's been doing it for quite a while. I knew the kid before he even started there. So congratulations to him. That's a pretty big milestone. And he always puts it where it's supposed to be. And, yeah, on that first one, I've never seen a holder put the ball down backwards before. It's tilted towards the – I'm sorry, but that guy's got to make sure he's doing the right job when he's holding the ball for Loeffler. I'm glad Loeffler didn't boot it because it would have – probably hit the offensive line.
Well, that's why I think he pulled up, Richard. And thanks for your call. And it's noted. Like, Daryl, you covered the team. I was a season ticket holder, and me and my buddy would go home with 8 or 9 little yellow footballs because we were the only ones in the section to get them when they scored a field goal or a touchdown. Mm-hmm. We remember those days.
Oh, yeah, there have been some bad ones. But, you know, after this building was built, it was full all the time, so they weren't winning Grey Cups necessarily.
Yeah, there's a lot of 30,000 season, there's 30,000 announcements, and we could tell the upper level was full. It was all the things, and now it's like,
I'll never criticize people for if they want to buy or don't want to buy. That's totally up to them. Yep. It's surprising to me to see that there are that many seats, especially with the optimism around this football team. It's a well-liked football team at the moment. We try to find things to criticize. It's difficult. They're good people. They're a good football team. They're doing what they're supposed to do in the community. So, you know, you think that people would be supporting them. I know there are great supporters for the team. It just seems surprising to me that the way this team is built and how good it could be, that it is a smaller crowd. And it's caught a lot of people's attention, especially across the country, where they're used to seeing the Saskatchewan Roughriders have full houses almost all the time.
And if, you know, you're talking about the Bombers being a measuring stick too, right? Mm-hmm. And they're selling out,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And because that's the thing, when I go to the stadium, you know, I always look up at that upper deck. That tells me if it's going to be filled or not. Mm-hmm. So when I drove by today, I'm like, ooh, like there were holes in it, you know.
We do the same thing when we Darryl and I, when that's we drive we it in. Tell. We look at the top. Yeah. We're like, okay, a little soft tonight.
Yep. And a lot of lower bowl seats unfilled. But, you know, maybe there's people standing on the walkway. The way the stadium's built now, you can do that. And it's a lot of fun to stand around with your buddies, you know, people from different sections. Cool. But you still get kind of a feeling that it's not as full as it could be. And, you know, if people don't want to, well, it's expensive. Yes, they can watch it on TV. Yes, but there's nothing. It's more fun being at the game, you know, and I bought season
the best place to watch a football game is in the stands and having fun and being in a social environment.
Yeah.
But
there could be a few wins this season to celebrate for fans too, right? So
Belton, are you ready to go?
Let's roll.
Let's roll.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
All right, Belton Johnson. The good and the bad. The good is... Well, the good today was the beef from Darren. But the good is the beast, and the bad is the beefs. What do you got, and where are we starting?
Let's start with the beef, Jamie.
Okay, the bad.
Yeah.
What are your beefs?
And these are things that could be fixed, right? So, third quarter, that big run by Bertrand Houdon, but it was holding on Zach Fry. I was like, God, dog it. Because that was a... How long of a run was that?
That was about a 50? Good yard run, yeah.
Somewhere in there?
I think that was probably 30 yards.
Okay, man, he was moving. What else I got here? C.J. Reeves, I put my note, he has to catch that interception in the end zone.
Because
the very next play, I think, or maybe next series. No, yeah, next play, Red Black scored and everything, right? Let me see here. And here's the tale of things, right? First quarter there, nice catch by Emlis, but the ball ripped out. He fumbled it. I can't remember who ripped it out. Second quarter, Bertrand Houdon ran for a nice game. He fumbled it, but luckily it was recovered, you know. Trevor Harris throws the interception. That was in the second quarter there. It was a blitz. He saw it coming. The edge guy, he knew it was coming at him. He just didn't put enough air under the ball there. Fourth quarter, Keyshawn fumbles the ball and the Red Blacks recover. And that was in the fourth. My notes, how many turnovers tonight for the Riders? You know,
I think it was four by the end of it, wasn't it?
Was it two?
Oh, three, sorry. Two fumbles,
two
and,
fumbles
an interception.
And an interception, right? So, to me, that's the beef right there, the turnovers and everything, right?
Turnovers?
You got to hold on to the ball, man.
That's not what Daryl and I predicted for your beef tonight.
What did you predict?
We thought it was going to be the video of the people's food coming out of their mouths backwards on the video screen. That was disgusting. Let's never do that again.
Snack weren't right. There was some sort of video showing. Oh, okay.
I don't know what they were doing or what they were trying to prove, but it's disgusting. I don't like it.
I missed that, fellas.
Yeah, there's people eating, but then they're like reversing it so the food was coming out of their back on. Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that.
No.
Lucky I didn't.
We didn't need that. Didn't need that today. keep it simple. Throw up the kiss cams. Keep it simple, people. Not a big fan of watching people eat or the food coming back out of their mouth on a reverse, to be honest. Or another, you know, airband video. I'll take those two. But let's get to your beast, Belton. What are the good from tonight?
First quarter there. I thought that was a heck of a breakup by Milligan. As Geno looked like he was wide open, and I was like, oh, God, this is a touchdown. And Milligan, I don't know if that was very athletic for him to turn around.
Wasn't
chase
that a great play?
And he almost had a pick, I think. Like,
yeah. He was one receiver away and like 10 yards and facing the other direction. What a reaction.
Heck of a play,
we
man.
Talked about that one, Jamie. Remember, we said, what a play.
I couldn't believe that, man. Missed field goal. Mario, he brought it out for a nice return. Second quarter there. I know the caller just mentioned Jordan Hughes there, 150th game. Let me see here. The fourth quarter, that was the first, I call it the first real punt for the Riders. I don't think it came till the fourth. I don't count the kick by
the missed field goal. No. Lather
was a missed field goal. It was a botched field goal.
His streak continues.
Yes, 20 in a row, I think, right?
Something like that. Yep.
Of course, we talked about Jameer Thurman with that sack. Here's my beast. I don't know if
your
this
number one beast.
The thing that shoot the T-shirts out, they actually had it on the other side this time too. I was like, about time. Because
did you get one?
Nah, I was in this alumni thing.
They have a window in front of them.
Yeah, I can't catch them out there.
Well, you're an offensive lineman, man. You can catch them if they threw them at you, right?
I could.
Hey, catch
I
you.
Got all hands,
right.
Man.
All right. Well, they might need you, but they're short some receivers.
I don't know if this is going to be a beast or a beef, but this.
Wait, what?
I think it's a beast, but the stats are right or whatever they,
yeah.
they show they got there. How many rushing yards Corey Sheets have in the Grey Cup? The guy picked 195. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got it because I'm like,
yeah.
You know, I knew it was 197.
You knew that was not 197?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You have that in your memory.
I just remember that was a heck of a game, oh, Corey. Yeah. Sheets. Nobody can.
As I said in the press box, 187, and Rob Vanstone.
Was it 187?
No. But Rob Vanstone's right. Like, you are a digit off. 197.
Yeah. So the guy, he said 195. I threw my hands up in the line. Oh, he's got it. And then his buddy or whoever's beside him, he said, he went up one.
Yeah. 196. That is a beast. In the press box, we were like, somebody finally knows how to play Price is Right. This is how you do it. You either go one under the score you think you're closest or one over. And especially if you're the fourth person, you should only be one up or one under. Or go to $1.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my. He stole the win. He stole the win.
And did the first person say four yards?
I completely ignored that one. I completely ignored it.
One of your beefs, that one.
I was thinking, did she think they said touchdowns in that great game? Maybe. But
I just disregarded that one, James.
I was like, four. Ooh. And then when he said 196, the press box erupted, and you're not allowed to cheer in the press box. We're like, yes, finally someone knows how to play The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm. That's my beast.
Give that man a car.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man, that was perfect play, man.
Beautiful.
That's how you do it. If you're ever on that game, just if you're the last person, go up by one or under by one.
You can't go under because you're not allowed to go over.
No, you're not allowed to go over.
You can't go over if you think.
Unless it's $1.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll go up by one for the lowest person.
Yeah. Yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was genius. You're right. Good point. But you're right about that mm-hmm. video. We thought Belton, especially with food involved. Right?
I didn't see it.
No, it was disgusting.
Yeah,
it was,
I think I was backwards. Trying to tell my wife, don't let the kids get nothing else to eat. It's disgusting.
Yeah, our mortgage payments too, right?
Okay, coming up, we got Trevor Harris in the queue. We'll hear from the quarterback after his 277-yard night. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you. 31-26, the final score. The Riders beat the Ottawa Red Blacks as we'll go to Mosaic Stadium for the first time tonight. And we'll start off with the quarterback from the Rough Riders. 19-26 passing, 73% completion percentage. Two touchdowns, an interception. Of course, Trevor Vick ran for 4 yards on a scramble play. Here's Trevor Harris.
Yeah, self-inflicted wounds. First down, I missed a throw to Dell. I just kind of babied a little one where I kind of escaped out of the pocket. Felt them bring boundary pressure, and so I kind of just got out of there just in case, wanted to avoid a sack fumble there. And just kind of babied the throw, and then we were kind of self-inflicted wounds from there, fumble, couple little things happening here and there, but it's obviously early in the season, and we've got to understand that these are full 60-minute football games, and the CFL, it's never over, but I'm never going to apologize for winning. We're 1-0, and it's tough to win in this league, and our defense stepped up, our specials did a great job. We had a great third quarter. We were moving the football, but fourth quarter, just self-inflicted wounds, and those are things that we can get better at. They're fixable things. It's not one of those things where we're looking around going, shoot, we just don't have guys that can make plays. We're going to be all right.
Trevor, what can you just say of the next man up mentality from this group when you have so many guys go down, key contributors early, and just the availability being the best ability for this team?
Yeah, it's something that you never take lightly, and that comes down to culture. It comes down to culture and, what's it look, act, and feel like in our room every day. And it looks, acts, and feels like focus and guys that are behind one another and guys that are really rallying behind one another. I mean, it's not like we had small pieces go down either. I mean, one of the best receivers in the CFL who should have been in the top 50. You're talking about A.J. Ouellette, maybe one of the best running backs in the league. You're talking about an O-lineman, a left tackle we're really, really high on. And, he's filling in for people. And so we're kind of, depth-wise, it's one of those things where you're kind of scraping the barrel at the roster at this point because we only had 6 guys dressed. And so it's like one other guy goes down, and you guys know who comes in, right? And Micah. And so, it's never ideal, but it's always great to see guys come in and step up and be ready to play. And, we didn't have a single person flinch.
talk about this offensive line again. Only Jamarcus Hardrick is in a spot from training camp. Daniel Johnson has to come in for Peyton Collins, and zero sacks given up. Just what is it about this group these past couple of years that they've been able to weather everything thrown at them?
Yeah, we know we're all in this together, and they talk about, you know, there's 12 guys and even 13 that protect the quarterback, and, you know, we're all a part of it. You know, receivers sight adjusting. There's, you know, myself getting the ball out and understanding when, you know, to get rid of the football and, you know, avoiding those things. And, yeah, that's all we heard about all week was depleted O-line, going to get feasted on. And, obviously, they're a great defensive line. Please don't misconstrue that quote. They have good football players, Bryce Carter, Lorenzo Maldon, Michael Wakefield, Cleon Lent, those are good football players. But, you know, just really proud of the bunch up front, proud of the receivers and running backs for, you know, handling some tough stuff.
What are your thoughts on how Bertrand Hudon and Sam Emelis played?
Oh, they were just awful. I just didn't think they played. Yeah. No, Sam Emelis is an animal. The fact that he was off the top 50 is absolutely insane. The guy dogs people in run game. He's really good after the catch. He catches everything. He's got vice grips for hands. And then Thomas is just one of those guys where nobody knows how good of a football player he is because he's behind AJ Olet. He's been behind some big-time players. And, you know, whenever he gets an opportunity, he comes in, he breaks tackles, he falls forward. He has some big plays. He had a big one called back tonight. And, you know, those are just, you know, unfortunate situations for him. But we know that we can kind of lean into Thomas. And, you know, he showed that tonight. He was getting us to second medium. And, unfortunately, we weren't able to kind of stay on the field for a number of reasons. But he did a great job for us tonight. And, you know, he's a guy that when he's in there, you don't ever flinch. I never thought anything. I never thought twice.
That is Trevor Harris after a 31-26 win with Thomas Bertrand Hudon, 14 carries, 57 yards, a touchdown. He also added a touchdown with one of his receptions, two catches, 17 yards with a 14-yard touchdown. More of it was a run than it was a pass, as he caught it about the line of scrimmage and was able to get to the outside and scamper for two touchdowns tonight for Thomas Bertrand Hudon. Let's go to Mackenzie, Saskatoon. What are you thinking tonight, Mackenzie?
Hey, guys. So you guys were talking a little while ago about the Corey Sheets trivia.
Yes.
And so me and my dad, we've always been really big fans of the Riders, and we followed really closely back in 2013. And Corey Sheets was one of my favorite players, so I actually remembered it was, like, under 200, but sort of almost at 200, and I yelled out 196, and sure enough, the kid yelled 196, and then we pointed at each other and celebrated. So, yeah.
Share the prize.
Yeah. So I just thought I'd call in because I wanted some of the brownie.
So, because he was looking around. Were you close enough that he heard you?
Yeah. So they were filming maybe four rows behind us, and Yeah.
McKay, you won it. Well, you won it for him.
Well, I know. That's what I was
saying. Brilliant.
Get Mackenzie on the show next game, Riders. Come on. You know the section. Yeah. They would have known where they were. Yeah, because right. I could tell he was like, he's looking for someone to tell him what's going on. And then he was like, well, 196. Even.
Well, one over the guy that answered it first, hey? So.
Yep, that's how you play the Price is Right, Mackenzie. How good did it feel seeing a Riders win to start this season, though, Mackenzie?
It was fantastic. We were there celebrating my dad's retirement, so yeah, it was a good game. Great time.
Right on. Happy retirement to your father, and good stuff, Mackenzie.
Hey.
Helping out. It's just helping out. That's what we do here in Saskatchewan.
196.
Belt knew it was 197.
Oh, yeah. Man, I thought 195, like, oh, he's got this.
Pretty close, yeah.
196, I'm like, oh.
Well, now we know where the real genius came from with Mackenzie.
It was three rows in front.
Oh, man.
Right on. This is the Green Zone. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. If you want to give us a ring, we'll hear from head coach Corey Mace, Game Warriors, Unsung Heroes. It's all coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone post-game show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson, and, of course, you on the fan line at 1-877-332-8255. There is still time to take your call, and that's where we find Glenn tonight. Glenn, how are you doing after a Rider win?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. What are you thinking tonight with the Rough Riders?
You guys were talking about attendance. It's not only Regina that supports the Riders.
Yeah, Thursday night doesn't help.
Yeah, I'm in Saskatoon, and, we just can't make that game. And when we go down, we like to stay overnight, spend money in Regina. So I'm just like, you guys are wondering why there's nobody there.
Yeah, and that's just it, Glenn. I think the last year's home opener was even under that, and that was like a Sunday night at about this time. And, of course, we were like, we have to be at work on Monday. Mm-hmm. We can't come down on a Sunday night.
It is their only Thursday game of the year, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I imagine Craig Reynolds was like, take us off Thursday, please.
They'll do it once. Yeah, I've heard that.
And if you're going to give it to us, make it something bigger like a home opener, and we'll do it. But we're only doing it once.
Yeah, Thursday isn't a real popular night in the whole CFL, right?
No. But in Toronto, it's easier to go to a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm.
You're downtown. That's where their crowd comes from.
Even Calgary, Edmonton, every other market other than Saskatchewan, I think it's fine to have a Thursday night game. But when you have a population of a million in one province and you're drawing from Weyburn and Moose Jaw and Swift Current and Battleford and PA and Saskatoon, and that takes up it's not the majority chunk. Yes, Regina and Moose Jaw area do own a lot of the chunk of the seats and season tickets. But when you're looking for 30,000, that's where those other 5,000 are coming from. And they're not coming on a Thursday night or a Sunday night. Yep. Yep. So, Glenn, thanks for bringing that up. I think that's the first time we talked about that. It was a Thursday night football game for the home opener, which is difficult. Fine, maybe in July when the kids are off school. Maybe you're a week off or something. But I don't know. School night. Right, Belton?
Oh, I told you.
Kids
they
asleep already?
They better be in bed.
They don't listen to the show. They don't listen to the show.
School's tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to Carol up next. Carol, what are you thinking tonight after the Riders win?
Well, you just took away what I was going to say about a Thursday night game.
Okay, so that's, sorry.
That's okay. I'm glad somebody brought that up. The other thing is, I was kind of surprised that the Riders only had one American running back. They got another guy on the
practice roster. Yeah,
but they. They didn't keep Frankie Hickson, and I was just wondering, do you think there's any chance of them going after, like, Fletcher or Kadeem Carey?
Well, we were saying, Carol, we were joking in the press box, Daryl and I, we can't get enough of each other, so we sit next to each other in the press box, too. And is Kadeem Carey's plane land at 10 or 11 tonight? That's where we were. Now, that's nothing official that they've actually signed him, but when A.J. Ouellette gets injured again and he's sitting there and he's got familiarity with Mueller and Mace and Markway McDaniel and Edwin Harrison and Kyle Carson in the front office, is he not the first guy you're calling if you're those guys?
Coming off a pretty good season too, right? Yeah. So a surprising cut. And Corey Mace was gracious about him, saying good things about him when he was asked how Kadeem Carey would take that being released. So, yeah, Carol, he's absolutely likely going to, I would think, why wouldn't, that's who you're going to go after. Is Carol still on the line?
Yep.
Where are you calling from? Where do you come into? Do you come into town for games, Carol?
I know I live in Regina here.
Okay, obviously we all do that. Out of town people comprise a big chunk of that crowd, don't they? Usually,
exactly. Like I know people that come in from out of town, and some people are still finishing seating. I know it's late, but some people are still finishing seating. Like I've got relatives that are just finishing up, and that's. That's another thing that you got to look at.
Yep,
absolutely. Yeah,
and plus people that are anybody that comes from up north that's got any kind of cottages or anything up in that smoke zone, they've got other things on their mind right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely, Carol, and we have them top of mind as well. Of course, our newsrooms have been working on those stories. And almost daily updates at 1:30 on our radio station, as you hear just more and more devastation by the day. And it doesn't look, unfortunately, like they're getting any reprieve when it comes to the weather situation. Jamie and I Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson. Carol, thanks for the call here on the Green Zone post-game show. Let's get to Corey Mace, his post-game thoughts after a 31-26 win and getting a week one victory.
If you can go 1-0 every week, we're sitting pretty, you know what I mean? So it wasn't pretty, but it was a win. So we're gonna settle on that, and then obviously coach hard as hell off of the tape.
Three big pieces of two on the offense, one on the defense, went down very early in this game, but your team recovered well and stayed strong. So how does that feel as a mentality in terms of just seeing how the game played out for you guys, knowing that those pieces went down?
Right? Yeah, first thing we talked about when we came back into the locker room, and you know, certainly that has been our experience in the past, but the expectation is you got to get the job done. You're on this team. You're a professional athlete. We're not going to change too much stuff up just because somebody else is in there. If you're on the active roster, you know, things keep rolling. So extremely proud of the guys who had to step up and double duty, because a lot of those guys also, you know, are on special teams doing suck and win week one. So, I just really happy with those guys.
Peyton Collins went down late, so I don't know if you have an update on him, but just Roland Milligan, AJ Oled, Keen Schaefer Baker, any update on those guys?
No real update yet. You know, you guys are going to hate me because this is usually my I get media and then I head down the hall. So no real update, but obviously, you know, those guys who had to exit the game and didn't come back, you know, that's something we're going to have to take a look at. Hopefully it's nothing, you know, long term, but we'll see. You know, I've seen a couple of them just in talking, and everybody's in pretty good spirits. So I'm hoping for the best there, but we'll see how that goes.
Was ball security a bit of a concern from what you saw out there?
Was it? Boy, yeah. And honestly, it's not even, you know, I mean, it is, you know, we talk about obsession for possession, and I think everybody always just looks at the defensive side, but no, that has everything to do with the offense and special teams as well. So, you know, certainly, you know, we'll look at that and we got to fix that, but, you know, defensively, I thought there was opportunities for us to go get it, and we didn't. We didn't capitalize on those opportunities, so... You know, as far as some of the things that we look at, as far as the recipes to success, we lost a turnover battle, but I think we did pretty dang good in special teams and also in penalties. I thought, you know, we won that battle as well. So we put ourselves in good favor to, you know, win two out of those three. But, you know, ideally the goal is to win all three, but ultimately we won the game. So it's easier to coach off of that.
Corey, what can you say about Thomas's performance tonight? Obviously, AJ goes down. That's a major portion of your offense, and he comes in and doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, no, it's we've seen it, and I think, you know, Rider Nation has seen it. Anytime this kid's been called upon to carry the football, I mean, he makes plays, you know what I mean? It's I'm just so happy for him to be able to celebrate that kind of success, because he put so much work in. Everybody gives AJ all the love for how he transformed his body, but Thomas did the exact same thing. And you know, seeing him press the hole and slipping off his blocks, and you know, escorting into the end zone with Emelis, you know what I mean? And Emelis was more hype in his own celebration for blocking than he was for his touchdown. Like, you love that stuff for those guys. So, we're really pleased with Thomas. No issues with handing him the ball.
That is head coach Corey Mace after a 31-26 win.
Thomas the Tank, isn't that what they usually call him? Just the way he runs. And Jamie, exactly what you said, that Corey Mace notes that he falls forward too, right? That's a big thing. Get that extra yard all the time, and that's what he's after. You can, if they don't bring in Kadeem Carey or Walter Fletcher, they could go with and put one of those newer guys, Anderson or Penix, as the backup running back, and go with Bertrand Hudon and see how they readjust their roster a little bit.
And like I said, Hudon, he had a nice block there on the pass protection too.
And man, he can catch.
That'll score you points with the offensive line coach.
Oh, it will. Oh, yeah. It will.
Yeah, I hope he's clearly in those meetings like Wes Cates was for you those best running backs. They're in with the O-line. They want to know the pass protection just as well as the offensive line do. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson. Coming up, we'll put a wrap on this thing with our game warriors, our unsung heroes, and see how – I haven't even looked yet to see how everybody did. Unfortunately, the A.J. Ouellette question is just trash because he unfortunately got hurt. But bold predictions as well. Coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone, a post-game show. Jamie Nye, Darrell Davis, and Belton Johnson with you as we will get to the Game Warriors.
Warriors, come out to play.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
All right, Game Warriors here on the Green Zone. Those who impressed on the offense and the defensive side of the football for the Rough Riders and the Red Blacks on this Thursday night. Darrell Davis, we always start with the winning side, and that's the home team tonight, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Who gets their offensive game warrior?
Well, I'm a little biased. Who's going to eat you ass before the game? Jamie, who'd I say? And you were mad at me for picking?
Yeah.
Samuel Emelis, 8 targets, caught all 8 passes thrown in his direction for a...
Just to be clear, I was mad because I always pick Sam Emelis and Darrell picked him.
Swooped in
right before I could say it.
8 catches, 133 yards, some pretty good blocks,
yeah,
apparently. And a touchdown.
Both Corey Mace and Trevor Harris talked about his blocking in their post game. So 8 catches, 133 yards, a touchdown, and some blocking downfield for Sam Emelis, our offensive game warrior for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. As Darrell, we slide over to the Ottawa Red Blacks.
I don't like picking the quarterbacks because you can't all the time, but sometimes a guy has such a good game that you can't give it to anybody else. When Drew Brown completes 34-41 for 411, 2 touchdowns and no interceptions, he's a quarterback. He's a game warrior for the Ottawa Red Blacks.
2 scores, 400 yards, and like 83% completion percentage for Drew Brown today. Wow. And then at the end of the game, took a beating from that Rough Riders defensive line.
Yeah.
So, Emelis for the Riders, Drew Brown for the Red Blacks. As we go to the Rough Riders defensive game warrior.
Well, the guy who hit Drew Brown the hardest, or at least the most effectively, was Jameer Thurman, middle linebacker for the Rough Riders. Number 6. He's good.
Yeah,
10 tackles and a sack. Wow. So, yeah, he was all over the place tonight. The main man on a pretty good defense. But we give it to Jameer Thurman a lot. He deserves it a lot tonight. He certainly did.
Yes, Jameer Thurman is the defensive game warrior. 10 tackles, 1 sack. As we slide over to the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the defensive lines, and they're both really good. They've both had good games tonight, but the linebackers behind them were playing great. And Adarius Pickett coming back to the Ottawa Red Blacks is one of the great linebackers in this league. 6 defensive tackles and a fumble recovery and a little bit of pressure on some guys, and he has to cover receivers of the backfield. But I think he's the Ottawa Red Blacks defensive game warrior. He's also number 6.
Yeah.
Hot number tonight.
It is the number 6, Adarius Pickett, and the number 6, Jameer Thurman. For our defensive game warriors, we're going to go back to the Rider locker room and hear from our defensive game warrior from Britton Gray, Jameer Thurman.
Well, Jameer, it got a little dicey at the end there, but you guys get the win. What's it say about this team to hold on?
Resilient. You know, we found a way to finish. It wasn't pretty, but we got the win. That's all that matters.
What's it say about this defense? More injuries for you guys? Yeah. The guys stepped up.
Yeah, guys stepped up in a lot of different ways. You know, we had guys playing a lot of special teams, playing a lot of defensive snaps. But, you know, they found a way, and then we came away with the win.
This defense doesn't call a lot of blitzes, but you got called on one and got right to the quarterback.
I appreciate them not blocking me on that play. So I'll take the free ones when they come my way.
Jameer, just thoughts on the game that Malik Kearney had, game-ending sack.
Yeah. No, he was balling. He was balling. You know, I knew it was a time when, you know, we had the lead that, you know, our D-line was going to start eating. And they saw the opportunity as well, and then they got after the quarterback. So, you know, a shout-out to D-line and Scoop for making the plays that came their way.
Jameer, what's it like to combine your 100th game with a sack, with 10 defensive tackles, with a win?
Oh, it was good. You know, I think the main thing for me is, you know, coming away with the win. But I just want to thank everybody that's been a part of my career, you know, my family, my trainers, all my teammates that's pushed me each and every year to be better. I couldn't have done any of this without them. So.
That is Jameer Thurman, our defensive game warriors, 10 tackles and a sack as we get to our unsung heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
All right, Darrell Davis, we go back to you for the unsung heroes, those who... You need your mic on,
Darrell.
Yeah, it's
my turn, Jamie. It's just a buggy. A scoop, isn't that what they call him? Malik Kearney, man,
overshadowed times. By Jameer Thurman.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, he'd have a great game if it wasn't for Jameer Thurman having an even better game.
One of our callers kept on calling him Prime Minister.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That's who he was
Mark
talking
Kearney.
About. Mark Kearney, Malik Kearney. Oh.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
He's okay. So the Prime Minister.
No relation.
No relation is the unsung hero for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Four tackles, two sacks. Wow. As they did give it to Kearney, not Rose, at the end of the game. They both met at the quarterback, but Kearney was the first one to get his hands on him, so he gets credited with the sack tonight. So Malik Kearney is the unsung hero for the Riders. What do we got?
You know, I could have given that to Mario Alford tonight.
You can. It's your.
Could have given it to
Thomas Bertrand Hudon
too, right? But let's go with the defense. I think the defense saved
Daniel Johnson.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Stepping in on
there are a lot of people tonight for the
Exume stepping in. So many guys.
There are a lot of people.
That's what you need to win. Yeah. Depth wins.
A lot of people for the Ottawa Redblacks too. I think I'm gonna go with Justin Hardy though. Eight catches, 133 yards and a touchdown. They had a lot of guys step up too. The unsung hero would be pretty tight. Tough tonight, Jamie, to pick somebody obscure. There are a lot of people who had great performances, so let's think of them as kind of the runners-up tonight. They're not just guys who were in the background, but they played important roles and had some stats, but not obscure stats. These guys were good players, and there were a whole bunch of them in tonight's game. I enjoyed the game tonight, guys.
Yes,
it was a thrilling football game to watch and a real character test for both teams and fail. Not that either team failed, but the Saskatchewan Roughriders just came out with a little better score.
All right, let's get to our bold predictions from the Green Zone pregame show. Mm. The first question was AJ Ouellette, and unfortunately got hurt.
You could just mark me down for nothing on that one then, Jamie.
Yeah, I will. All right. So he only got 3 carries for 21 yards, no touchdowns. His receptions tonight, I think he didn't have anything. Daryl got 2 of the points for the carries and the yards at the low point, and I got the 2 lowest for the receiving yards, and Daryl and I get points for the least amount of touchdowns. You said 2, Belton. Yeah. We said 1.
Yeah.
Always goes to the closest person. We don't play prices right. If you go over, you can still get the point. All righty. Second-year receivers. Total catches, yards, and touchdowns for the 3 second-year Rider receivers, Myers, Johnson, Del Duncan, Busby. Del Duncan, Busby got nothing. Keyshawn Johnson got 4 catches for 68 yards. Dante Myers, 3 for 28. So a total of 7 catches for 96 yards, no touchdowns. Daryl said 7 catches for 105 and no touchdowns.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Pretty close.
Who had the most out of those ones? Keyshawn Johnson, which is... Belton, you did get a point.
I did.
Yeah, go
you said Keyshawn Johnson, so did Daryl.
All right.
Two best defensive lines. How many sacks for each team? The Riders got 4. Belton Johnson got that one. Who got the
did
first?
Did you say 4?
Right, yes, he
say,
did.
Yeah, good one. They played really well.
Who got the first one? That was Kearney.
Nobody picked them.
Nobody picked them.
The Prime Minister.
Them. Ottawa, no sacks. So I'll take the point because I said 1 sack. And, of course, that means nobody got the first sack for the Ottawa Redblacks. Final score. Riders 31, Ottawa 26. So we all said the Riders. We all get a point. Now I'm debating on who gets the extra point.
Didn't I say it was a 5-point victory?
You said a 4-point victory. Oh, okay. 26-22. Belton said 29-20.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the most total points tonight. but you had the closer discrepancy in score.
I think I deserve it.
I said 32 for the Riders, so I was the closest on the winning side. So maybe I should get the point. I did say they'd win by 18. Thanks.
I'll wrestle you for it.
You want to wrestle Daryl for it? I'm in. Let's go.
That's still the steak talking, right?
I'm going to give it to Daryl. He had the closest point discrepancy. Daryl gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
wow,
7, 8, 9 points tonight. Belton gets 1, 2, 3 points tonight. I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the standings after three games.
All right, we got to get going here, fellas.
Daryl's at 18. I'm at 16. Belton's at 5 points to start the year.
Wow.
There's still 20 games
left. I'm not worried.
They're going to the Grey Cup. We got a lot more of these bold predictions. That's it for us. Thanks for joining us on a Thursday. Now it is Friday. And, of course, next week I will tell you, we will be, of course, looking forward to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. That is a Saturday, June the 14th, 5 o'clock kickoff. We may have a special announcement next week on the Green Zone on our coverage for that game day in particular. It all depends on what the Oilers do in the next couple of nights, because that's also a game night for the Edmonton Oilers. We might be having an epic watch party for you Rider fans and Oiler fans on Saturday, June 14th, 5 o'clock kickoff. Green Zone pregame show at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Stay tuned for more information for next week's show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We had Paul calling in about his son who's up fighting the forest fires. That's why they weren't at the game. Thinking of all those not only fighting the fires but impacted by the fires in the north of our province, as we're thinking of you. And, of course, our newsroom continues to bring you the latest. That's it for us. Have a good rest of your Friday. I'll be back on the air at 2 o'clock with Locker on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.